With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hooter!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I am your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me today on 980 AM, or if you're joining us via iTunes and podcast, we greatly appreciate it. Or on our website, grillnationshow.com, where you can find links to all of our shows and all of our guests' information, as well as our supporters. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you had a great week. We are starting the fall, and we have got a lot of great shows this month lined up with a lot of leaders, both in the community and in the region, as far as successful folks, whether it's in business, whether it's in civic, or whether it's in, you know, the public arena. Today is no different. I want to bring on our guest for today's show, Pat Contreras. He is the director of project development at McCown Gordon Construction. Their website is mccowngordon.com. Got to know him over the years through various endeavors in the Kansas City region, also in the state of Missouri. He is just a really good guy and has done a lot of really interesting things. So I thought he'd be a great guest for today's show. Pat, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Jason. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it, man. It's a real honor to be here.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So first off, give us a little background on yourself. You grew up in Kansas City. Is that right?
Yep. Grew up in Kansas City. Grew up on in the Westport area as well as West Side. It was interesting. I was looking back at some old archives. My grandfather built a home for my grandmother. That's where my mother grew up. So we have a long history of West Side community, which is just on the west side of downtown KC Mo. West Side as well. I ended up going to a number of different schools, so both public and private, and ended up graduating from Bishop Miege High School in the class of 2000.
I didn't know you went to Miege. That's not too far from where I live now. So that's I did not know that. But you went to SLU, which I went to SLU. We have a lot in common, and we'll get into that in the show. But you went to SLU. I think you were there for 1 year while I was there. I was a senior maybe when you were a freshman.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then it was the SLU connection that brought us together. So a good friend of mine, Paul Woody, out in St. Louis now, was the one that connected us. And that's how we got connected.
What did you think of SLU? I know it's grown a lot, the development around that campus. What was your thoughts around it as somebody who's in Kansas City now?
Yeah, I loved my experience in St. Louis. And going to SLU and living in St. Louis's urban core was, I think for me, was pretty eye-opening. It was good to see the contrast with Kansas City. It was also good just to learn about how that community functions, seeing different areas of public affairs and how they intersect. But I think what I really liked about SLU was the Catholic social teaching around social justice issues. I went there to study economics and came back and was able to apply, I think, a lot of what I learned there and what I'm doing here in Kansas City. So I love SLU. I get back as often as I can. give when I can. And it's just such a great institution and a great gem for Missouri.
Yeah, it is. Wow. I was an economics major too. I didn't know you were. I'd love to go back there with you sometime. The watering holes I used to go to are closed now. Humphreys is no longer, which was the only bar on campus. Well, there was two or three actually when I was a senior, but
Laclede's.
For a while.
What about Laclede's? Laclede's Landing.
Yeah, Laclede's Landing opened, I think, my junior or senior year right in front of my fraternity house. We're the last fraternity house standing, the Sid McKay House. It's gone now, but at that time it was literally across the street from our fraternity house. So.
Well, at least you had a house. I was a Sig Ep. We didn't even have a house.
Yeah, right. You guys were a floor of a dorm. So yeah, Pat, yeah. You went on to for years I thought you went to law school, but you went to Columbia University and got a master's in public administration, public and economic policy. What was that like? Now that is that in New York?
That's in New York. So kind of Upper East Side. Upper West Side, so it'd be considered kind of West Village. So Columbia University, went to their School of International and Public Affairs. Amazing experience, two-year program. Met some folks from all over the world. So it was I went there from 2006 to 2008. So two-year Master in Public Administration. Got to really get embedded in not only what's happening in New York, but globally, looking at international affairs. So CIPA, which it's referred to as, it's primarily an international studies school, so primary international studies international relations program, their more prominent degree is the international affairs degree, and then there's the public administration degree. So I was thankful to go there and to learn and make some great relationships and take that into the Foreign Service immediately following graduation.
Yeah, so you came back to Kansas City for a while and then decided you wanted to, or Missouri, I guess, worked at the Fed for a yep. little bit, and then just, you know, applied to grad school. Yeah. And then you just mentioned, as we go through this background, this will all inform kind of where we're going to go with the show. But I just think it's interesting to talk to Pat about his background, because now we're going to leap into you. You were a U.S. diplomat and a Foreign Service officer. What was that experience like, and kind of what led you to do that coming out of Columbia?
It was interesting, because when I learned about the Foreign Service opportunity, a good friend of mine came up to me and he said, "Hey, have you ever heard about the Foreign Service or about the State Department?" And immediately when I heard State Department, I was thinking, in the state of Missouri, like there's got to be some, you know, some office in the state of Missouri in Jeff City that he's talking about. But no, he was talking about the U.S. Diplomatic Corps. And when I first learned about that, I took what I've experienced in high school, which was a little bit of travel. In high school, I went to Honduras to do some public health work. In college, I studied in Spain and in Chile, in South America, and was able to open my perspective to, wow, there's a greater world out there. So I had a little bit of that sampling early on in life, and I thought, let's just try a career in Foreign Service, and to not only be on the front lines of foreign policy, but diplomacy, and also have an opportunity to serve our government, to serve as a federal employee, a commissioned Foreign Service officer, commissioned under President Obama, and served a couple of tours overseas, came back to Washington for a DC tour, and it was an amazing experience to be able to go to different embassies around the world and complete missions. Was just an absolute honor and a real privilege. And I learned so much and made some great relationships along the way.
What places did you go to?
So my first two tours were in Pakistan. I did three legitimate tours, overseas tours. So first tour was in Pakistan. I was a visas officer doing non-immigrant visas. My second tour, which was still considered number two, was in Pakistan. So I went to Lahore, Pakistan as a political officer. That was where I was able to get embedded in the community, to meet with Pakistani officials, to meet with political leaders, with military brass, with religious leaders, with the end goal in promoting democracy, promoting rule of law, making sure that we are also elevating the conversation of American values overseas, building strong partnerships. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we have the trust of the Pakistanis. And for me to be able to do that on the front lines was just amazing. It was incredible. I learned so much. And made lifelong friends, Pakistanis that are just wonderful, wonderful people and lifelong friends to today.
So you did that.
And then after that,
you got 30 seconds left in the first segment, but we'll go back into this. Where'd you go next?
Then I went to Mexico City. So I was a political officer in Mexico City, primarily liaising with their major political parties. So at that time, it was in the run-up to the 2012 presidential elections. So I was the primary liaison with the embassy, between the American embassy and the National Action Party, which was in the running to put the first woman ever in the presidency. And they lost, the National Action Party lost, but at the end of the day, built some great relationships with their political parties in Mexico.
Very interesting stuff. Pat Contreras, he's now in Kansas City, Director of Project Development at McCown Gordon Construction, online at McCownGordon.com. We'll get into that in a little bit. You're listening to The Grill Nation Show here on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We'll be right back.
I used to rule the world, seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own.
If I should die before I wake, it's cause you took my breath away. Losing you is like living in a world.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast or on our website, grillnationshow.com. Hope you're having a great day. I am your host, Jason Grill. You can connect with me on social media at Jason Grill on Twitter or at Grill Nation Show. Also, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search for my name, Jason Grill. We're talking to Pat Contreras. He is on Twitter at Pat Contreras. That's Contreras. He's a project a director of project development at McCown Gordon Construction. Their website is McCownGordon.com. Pat, we were talking about kind of your journey before we get to kind of what you do now, and we kind of left off in our last segment of talking about the State Department, Foreign Service, U.S. diplomat, Pakistan, Mexico City. You know, you did that for, it looks like, 6 years. What led you to leave the State Department? Because from what I understand, those jobs are, you get to retire at like 50, right? Or am I just crazy? There's something, you know, you show up at a place and there's furniture already in your house. You don't have to, it's a pretty good life if you can speak a few languages and don't mind living in Pakistan, Mexico City, Russia, you name the country you can go to, somewhere in Europe. Yeah. What kind of after your 6 years there, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, after my 6 years in the Foreign Service, I think one of my biggest lessons learned was one that grandfather once told me. He said, always stay true to your core values, Pat, but never lose your willingness to reinvent yourself. And I got to a point where I think I was ready to reinvent myself. I was ready for something new. I enjoyed my time in the Foreign Service, and to be able to work for our federal government and to do the things that I was doing was a real privilege. But there was this longing for me to want to be home, closer to family. I grew up in Kansas City. My entire family is in Kansas City. And two, I've always wanted to get involved in politics. And I hit a point where I was able to, I think, take the experience from federal government back with me to Kansas City to then, in fact, reinvent myself and work in politics. So I was able to take some of the training that I received early on in St. Louis in Catholic social teaching, social justice, working as a Coro Fellow in St. Louis and understanding how politics, how labor, how business, how nonprofit intersect, and taking those models from, again, studying a master in public administration back home to say, all right, I'm a trained economist. I see a lot of families that are being left behind financially in Missouri. And what could I do as state treasurer to help improve that? So improving the positions of those that are underserved or don't have access to the financial mainstream, or college students that are just, you know, dealing with debt, and also just being able to continue to make sure that the economic engine in the state of Missouri is churning. So I wanted to do something different. So it was an opportunity for me to come back home, reinvent myself, and jump into statewide politics, immerse myself.
It's a pretty big jump when you haven't been an elected official before, right? I mean, yeah. To be honest, like, you know, now it happens more, I guess, but I mean, you decided I'm gonna run statewide office. Which for people that don't understand Missouri, there's what, over 6 million people here. So, that was in 2016 you ran, for state treasurer. And what was that like? What'd you learn from that experience? Because that is, I mean, as a former state rep, you know, with 35,000 constituents, I know that I had to work my tail off. I can't imagine doing it statewide.
Yep. It was an amazing experience. Was able to travel to most counties of the state and really see how diverse the state of Missouri is. There are so many pockets of really unique and amazing things going on in the state of Missouri. And for me to be able to go and do that and to build a team of folks all across the state in a movement, I think, that really ignited kind of a young group of very active political volunteers that are just hungry about making change in Missouri. And even though I lost that election, I was just excited to be able to, I think, create a new conversation and start a new narrative in statewide politics. And now being able to go back to a lot of those folks that I built relationships with and get things done today is what I think is the biggest takeaway, was building those lifelong relationships with folks all around the state of Missouri. It was tough. It was tough. It was tough traveling. I was getting an oil change on my Ford Explorer once a month. We were traveling so much. We were sleeping on couches wherever we could find just a place to crash. I mean, it was, we were bootstrapping it, man, but we raised some good money. We raised the profile of unique conversations. And I think we built some great relationships all around the state that lasted today. It was an amazing experience and I loved every moment.
Yeah, for sure. And you came back here, you know, that election was the primary, Democratic primary. You didn't jump back on the political horse to run again in 2018. You did some things. You've served on a lot of boards. We'll get into that in the last segment. But you now are at McCown Gordon. What led you there coming out of politics? How did that happen? I know you built a lot of relationships. How did that work out for you? Because that is now a growing company based here, right? Based in Kansas City, downtown, yep. Brand new building. Seeing you guys all over the news pre-COVID and now even now with projects. But how did that work out for you? How'd you end up there and how'd you get into this world?
It was a bit of a serendipity and a bit of timing, all of the above. So I lost my election. I helped some of the folks that won in their primaries go on to the general in 12. And after that election, I came back to Kansas City after traveling throughout the state. And I got a call from Congressman Cleaver and he said, "Hey, Pat, how are you doing? I need your help with something." I said, "Sure, Rev. What can I help out with?" He said, "I'd like to focus on increasing home ownership in the African-American community." And I said, "Tell me more." And he said, "Pat, I want you to throw a festival and partner with some folks and figure out ways that we can drive people to learn more about home ownership." And what did that look like? So that looked like a festival that we did have on 18th and Vine, where we hosted Sheila E. to come in, the world-renowned percussionist. She came down, Sheila E. We had thousands of folks there, and we were able to partner with various financial institutions to not only get people there to talk about culture and music, but how do you get access to capital? Enhance your credit so that you can in fact buy a home, or how do you leverage what you currently have so that you can in fact become a homeowner and achieve that American dream? So that was amazing. So that was an amazing opportunity. So in doing that, long story short, in all my networking, and I was still unemployed at the time because I lost my election, I was making tons of calls to help out with this festival. And one person in particular, a good friend of mine, Nia Richardson, said, "Hey, aren't you still looking for a job?" I said, "You know what? I still am. Yeah, I appreciate that." She said, "Well, call our friends over at McCown Gordon because I hear they're hiring a business development officer." And I was just 2 seconds later, I made that call and I had coffee with someone at McCown Gordon who was in the business development world. And before you know it, I was interviewing with Pat McCown, Ramin Sharafat, our current CEO, and just these wonderful leaders at McCown Gordon. And I was lucky enough to get a job. It was perfect timing. And they took a risk, right? Here's a guy that's never been in the private sector, one, that does not know construction, two, and go out there and go sell some work, Pat. And again, going back to what my grandfather always told me, don't ever lose the willingness to reinvent yourself. Again, I saw it as an opportunity to reinvent myself, to learn, to be a perpetual learner, always learning and finding new ways to just continue to, be a better version of yourself. So for me, it's always about staying true to your core values, working hard, fighting for what you believe in, and just keep going. So that's how I ended up at McCown Gordon. It was a bit of luck and serendipity and timing.
Tell us a little bit about McCown Gordon, and we'll get into what you do each day. But give us a little pitch on what y'all do in construction, what the business does, and kind of what your verticals are.
So McCown Gordon Construction was founded about 20 years ago. We have 300 employees. We have three offices. The headquarters is downtown Kansas City, Missouri.
By the way, let me just tell you guys, I did go to a meeting there. Gosh, time flies, but it was cold out. I had a big jacket on, and you have a great coffee machine when you walk in. And then the people up front are so friendly. And believe me, I started with a hot chocolate. And then when I left my meeting there, I think I left with a latte or something. I mean, it was great. Great perk of McCown Gordon. I know you guys are always in the best offices, discussion with the Business Journal, but But yeah, yep. Just very friendly. So you guys have a great, great place. But sorry to interrupt, but continue on, Pat.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, so yeah, McCown Gordon, we're construction managers. We're commercial builders in town. And referring to what you talked about in that business journal, Jason, that article, we were voted best places to work for 16 years in a row by the Kansas City Business Journal. And I think we have the longest streak of any company in Kansas City. And that's amazing. But McCown Gordon, again, we're based here, deeply rooted in three primary values of integrity, relationships, and performance. Some of our biggest verticals, I would say, in terms of the commercial work that we do, healthcare. We build a lot of hospitals, a lot of clinics, higher ed, so education, so K-12 and higher ed. We do a lot of work in the community on education related. And we do a lot of office building, developer led work. We do some industrial. We really do the gamut, and that's one of the things that I like so much about McCown Gordon is the various types of work that we get to do in the community, but also being philanthropic, involved in the philanthropic community, very involved in giving, in just community service, as well as just making sure that our projects are ways that we can enhance the building experience for our customers and our clients. So it's an exciting time to be at McCown Gordon, just a wonderful culture, wonderful team of people. And I just couldn't envision myself, frankly, anywhere else. And I just pinch myself every day I walk into this building, knowing that I get to work with an amazing team.
That's very well said. Some recent projects that people might have heard of. The website is McCownGordon.com. 46 Penn Center, which is going up right now. It's getting close, 10 blocks. Development, and you guys have worked there. 21C Museum Hotel, Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, Church of the Resurrection. I mean, just so many different things. Hy-Vee Arena, KU Medical Center, Health Education Building. All of these case studies are on the website, McCownGordon.com. Many, many more. Very good website. And again, awesome, awesome office if you ever have a chance to go to it. Pat Contreras is our guest. We'll be right back after the break with more Grill Nation. Thanks for joining us today on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We'll be right back.
Done me and you bet I felt it. I tried to be chill, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back.
Welcome back to the show, the Grill Nation Show. I am your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me today on 980 AM and again on podcast. If you're listening at the gym or in the car or on the golf course or wherever you're at, on iTunes or on our website, grillnationshow.com. Again, connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill. If you are interested in being on the show, or if you know someone that might want to sponsor the show so we can continue to grow, or you just like what you heard, or you didn't like what you hear, whatever, just give us a call, connect with us. We'd love feedback, and we'd love to work with the great folks here in the region. Today, I'm joined by Pat Contreras, Director of Project Development at McCown Gordon Construction. McCownGordon.com. That's McCown Gordon, GORDON.com. Construction company here in the region. They have three offices, but based in Kansas City, downtown. Great office space. I'm sure you've seen it if you've driven anywhere. I think it's on Main Street. Is it?
Or 9th and Main. Yeah, come and see us. 9th and Main.
Pat was telling us about what he does there. So really, you're in the business development world, public affairs, kind of a meshing of a lot of the things that you've kind of worked in as far as connecting, confluence. I read an article. By the way, Pat was in the Kansas City Business Journal. Man, he's been all over the media lately. August 21st, there was an article, Connecting KC, which is a new series that they do. And we're going to have on the publisher of the Kansas City Business Journal next week, Stacy Prosser. But Pat is it's a really good profile. I'd urge you to check it out. Just Google Pat's name and KC Business Journal. But really, your job now, it's you're trying to connect people, you're trying to connect projects, grow projects, and it's kind of a mesh of everything you've kind of done in your career. Tell us about kind of what your day-to-day looks like at McCown Gordon.
Well, day-to-day,
we're continuing reinvent ourselves. And as you are, as you know, like, you could be at three different things at once with what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. Sometimes I you know, at least this day and age where we're primarily virtual, it makes my job a whole lot easier. The last thing folks want to do is, at least this point, is, you know, get out and engage. But that's what my life used to look like. I would, you know, on the front lines of creating business, going out and trying to find, build those relationships that are going to be helpful in us, obviously, being able to work with them to help them with their project, whether it's building a middle school or it's going out. And for example, I helped with, we're going to start construction on the Overland Park Arboretum and Botanical Gardens, the renovation that's going on out there. But we've done some iconic projects such as, you know, the Garmin Warehouse out south, Children's Mercy Research Tower over here. So my job is to get out on the front of these projects before they even happen, right? When it's just an idea. And what I do is help connect the dots with architects and developers, finance experts. Maybe there's a community or a school district that has to pass a bond in order to finance a specific project. So my main job is to make sure that I'm connecting the dots. I am able to usher forward a project. And at the end of the day, we want to be the ones that are helping out building that project. So what my day-to-day looks like now is a lot of virtual and Zoom calls. If and when we do a socially distanced coffee, maybe meeting out on a patio, obviously maintaining our space and honoring, you know, kind of what's going on right now with COVID. But my main job is to get out in front of communities, in front of owners, in front of developers, and those that are driving projects, and to help them usher those to completion. So that's my main job, is just to connect the dot and help find unique solutions to help the building experience for our clients and friends.
Yeah. So talk to us about that. So we have been doing Zooms a lot since March. It's September now. I can't believe it. You know, people like us that have a lot of different meetings and are traveling and doing different things. I mean, it's got to help. I mean, it kind of helps and it kind of hurts, right? So you've kind of lost that personal touch and relationship building that you got to do in a coffee with somebody that maybe could send you business or somebody you can build a relationship with. But you've saved a heck of a lot of time because you're not in your car all the time and you're not driving all over this region. You're doing projects all over the place. You know, you could be in your car an hour or two a day, going back and forth. And it's just, so there's that things you got to balance, right?
Right. Absolutely. And then
you got to work in nine holes with me, Pat. We can go play golf. I'm just saying it's very tough and we're both about the same handicap. So, you know, you more practice, the better.
That's right.
But yeah, it's been a life. It's probably, you've learned a lot probably through this COVID and how to actually kind of do what you do and do it more efficiently.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway from me from this experience is just to frankly meet people where they're at, right? There's some people that do prefer the Zoom and that's fine, or a Microsoft Teams call or a Skype, what have you. And I'll do that. Or there's some people that say, you know what? I'm tired of the Zoom. There's Zoom fatigue. Let's meet for coffee. Let's go on a patio. Let's do that. I mean, I'll go do that as well. So just depending on where folks are at, I want to meet them where they're at. And I think that's been my biggest takeaway. But also, what could I do that's maybe outside the normal, normal course of business? So things like writing handwritten notes, you know, maybe it's a thank you handwritten note, or follow up, or just a good old fashioned phone call. I find some folks also just wouldn't mind jumping on a phone call. Maybe they don't need to do Zoom or a Microsoft Teams meeting, but they just want to jump on a call or a text message. Just finding unique ways to engage these folks. And I think what we're trying to do also at McCown Gordon is where we can, do some sort of patio or outdoor seating where we can engage with some folks in person. But if not, you know, we want to make sure that we are meeting all the needs of our clients and owners. So meeting them where they're at and just being able to be nimble, being able to be flexible, being able to spin on a dime and do whatever we can to, at the end of the day, we want to still continue to deliver these projects on time and under budget. So that's our main goal. So whatever it takes to do that, we're going to do it. And I love just being able to be flexible and entrepreneurial here, which is the McCown Gordon way. That's how we operate.
So talk to us through that. You know, with everything that's happened in the United States and in Missouri and Kansas, where are you guys at as far as projects? I mean, are things still moving forward as planned? Is there some takeaways like you could share with us on, as far as construction and development? Where do things stand as of September, first week of September in your mind, as far as where the projects are at and if anything's changed or maybe things haven't? I don't know.
Yeah. Early spring, we saw a early slowdown in projects. I think people were just trying to grapple with what the future is going to look like. As we've seen now, that's already up September 1st. We're seeing an uptick in projects, whether that's civic projects, municipal. You know, we're seeing stuff all over town where people are wanting to build and they want to continue on with their projects. We're seeing a shift in office. That's one of the biggest things that we're trying to grapple with, is what is the new office going to look like in the future? There were some big office projects going up, but we're seeing people wanting to maybe pivot from there and doing more of an abbreviated model, or maybe even building a little bit less or building more strategic. So they're being very, very intentional about how they're spending money and how they're moving forward with office projects. We're seeing a huge uptick in industrial. Everyone wants to do industrial projects, right? We're seeing Amazon, for example, of the worlds, where they're just, you know, everyone's trying to put up these
we've had a few announcements locally, Urban Outfitters, Chewy. Yep. There's a lot more in the tank, I know, as far as potential projects and where they're going to go. Yep. But industrial is kind of the thing. And it was like Class A office was kind of becoming the thing before COVID. We need Class A office. We need spec Class A office. New buildings downtown, they haven't done any of that lately as far as offices, large offices. And now it seems to me that that's kind of changing a little bit. And industrial is, like you said, really kind of exploding in this region.
Yeah, it's booming. So there's a lot of folks that are just trying to play catch up, right? So we're trying to continue to be on the front end of what's happening, how things are evolving, and innovating all along the way so that we could help the clients achieve their goals. But like I said, we're still seeing civic projects go forward. K-12, a lot of projects are still moving forward, whether it's the City Lee Summit or North Kansas City, or, you know, we're doing an addition over at Pembroke Hill. So for us, we're just, you know, continuing to
make... I drive by it every day, Pat, and I'm reminded about, I went to St. Pius, and I'd like to say for the record, as for those listening, that St. Pius beat Pembroke Hill in football on opening weekend by, I think, 25 points.
Is that
football field, good Catholic school. But yeah, it's... Nice. I looked into that. I read the article, and I drive by it every day on Ward Parkway. It's like a huge redevelopment project. What is it, like $50 or $60 million they raised for that project? I mean, that's amazing.
It was a big undertaking for Pembroke, and it's just going to be such an iconic project for them. And you know, just obviously where they're located, you know, everyone's going to see it going up and seeing the progress. We're just really excited to be a partner with them.
The McCown Gordon red signs. They're very easy to see these days. You guys, I know Sherry over there, who I was in the Kansas City Tomorrow Civic Council leadership group with. You guys recently, maybe it's been a while now, but, you know, you changed kind of your logo and kind of your look, your branding, and it is it's very vibrant now. I mean, you can
yes.
see it well, and I've already known McCown Gordon for that red that red logo, the wording, the branding. I mean, so you will see it all over the place at the Pembroke Hill redevelopment.
Absolutely. And I got to give a shout out to my colleague, Sherry Johnson, and the marketing team. Amazing, amazing group of leaders. That project, that new logo was done in-house, and that was all of them. So Sherry Johnson,
great job.
Awesome job. She did fantastic. And
Sherry
her team.
Johnson is a great, great person. She does great work for McCown Gordon. Yes. You guys are doing also some projects in KCK, I've seen, in downtown Kansas City, Kansas. I mean, you're all over the place. It's exciting, you know, and it's the office conversation will be interesting for you to follow over the next year or so with kind of how that goes, because, you know, I believe there are some new office spaces, Class A office spaces that are going to go up downtown. Those will be interesting to follow, but You'll have to keep me informed, man, because I try to read up on where's the office space moving? You know, where is it going to move? Because we need to build density in the city, I think, still, post-COVID, once there's a vaccine, continue to grow our neighborhoods and our city.
Absolutely. I agree. And I also serve on the board at Downtown Council. So speaking to that, yeah, we just got to continue to drive density, continue to bring employers downtown. Finding different unique ways that we can continue to get capital to our business hub. We want to continue to get employers to bring folks down here, hire local, and continue churning the economy. So, you know, we're big advocates of that, and we'll continue to find, you know, unique solutions to help make that possible.
Pat Kachuris is my guest, director at McCown Gordon Construction. We are coming back for our final segment of the show. Hope you're enjoying the show today. Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill here on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We will be right back for our final segment of the show.
Lay where you're laying. Don't make a sound.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show here on 980 AM. I am Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill. I appreciate you guys listening. Hope you've enjoyed our show. Hope you maybe learned a little bit from our guest, Pat Contreras. He's the Director of Project Development at McCown Gordon Construction. They're online at McCownGordon.com. He has been in all over the world and done some really cool stuff in his career, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to have him on today. You mentioned board service and whatnot, Pat. You're involved in it. I mean, gosh, six or seven boards, man. Is that a time intensive thing, or is that just, are you just there in name only? Like, what, yeah, you like literally around five or six now. What drives you to do that?
Yeah, that
nice relationship building.
Yeah, the drive for board engagement is giving back, right? I've grown up in this community and I've seen so many parts of the community that frankly just needs additional help, and it also needs representation. So for me, it's being able to offer my skill set to help push a mission forward. So for example, I'm on the Truman Medical Center Board of Directors. I'm on their finance committee. So, it's the only safety net hospital in our region, and we got to make sure that we are operating at full capacity, taking care of everyone, obviously against the backdrop of COVID, but also just future, being prepared for the future, and also being on the front lines of healthcare and helping the underserved and underinsured. I'm also on Health Forward Foundation, which does exactly that. The Health Forward Foundation, I chair their audit committee. On average, gives out about $20 million a year to help bridge the barrier and bridge the gap between the underinsured and underinsured and uninsured in our community. So helping create greater access. Or it could be on MOXA. I'm on MOXA's Board of Directors. MOXA's Board of Directors, that's a metropolitan organization to counter sexual assault. And that's creating a platform and a resource for many victims, survivors, rather, in our community, go to resources so that they can, in fact, go someplace and receive support and help in resources. So
you're also on the Downtown Council, Kansas City, Missouri Committee of the Chamber, that you lead. Teach for America. You've been a champion board member, Independence Chamber, Park University. You're on the council. You were with commissioner of the LCRA for a while. You've done a lot, man. I feel like when I read your LinkedIn profile, I've been an underachiever, man. I'm not a type A anymore. I need to really step my game up, Pat. You're going to have to connect me to these boards. And when you leave them, I'll join them. Or maybe if there's a spot for a for another 40-something male, put me on.
Keep me posted, man. It is a time commitment.
You've got a lot of stuff on your plate, for sure.
It's a lot, but I figure I do it now, right? There's no better time. There's never the right time to do anything. That's the other thing I've learned. You just do it. Just do it and keep moving forward. So I'm just thankful that all those folks and those leaders have asked me to serve on those boards. And I just want to make sure that I'm honoring that commitment and helping, everyone achieve those missions that they want to achieve. So it's an exciting time. I love it.
So now that you're back in Kansas City again, you've been here for, the campaign, you were traveling the state in 2016. So I don't know, 4 years maybe. Back from Foreign Service, back from New York, back from SLU, all of these places you've been. It sounds as if you're not going to leave unless maybe Joe Biden gets elected and you get appointed to something. I don't know. Maybe you'll be an ambassador one day for all we know. But anyway, so you're kind of loving Kansas City right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Homegrown, man. This is my town. This is my family's here. Everyone's here. So I'm home. And
it sounds like, just talking to you off the air as well, family is very important to you.
Yes. Yes. My family is everything. I've learned from my family just so many core values of just, just working hard work. My grandfather was a migrant farm worker, World War II vet. I mean, gosh, guys like that, it's hard to find guys like that anymore. But he taught me about hard work. My mom, I was raised by a single mom. She, and one thing I learned too, no one hustles harder than a single mom. I know that she had multiple part-time jobs doing whatever she could. She was serving burgers at a burger joint, whatever she could do to put food on the table for us and for my sister. And I got one sister. But knowing and seeing that example of leadership and of service and of selflessness is what just, keeps me here, because I want to honor them. I want to honor that and support my family as they age, support my family as my mother and my father. As they continue to age and be there for my nephews. My sister has two little boys and a little girl. So going to a ball game every week to go see them play and just hang out with my family is just joy. It's complete joy for me.
I love it. You did say too that when you walk through the door, you're excited after 4 years at McCown Gordon, which is interesting because we have reinvented ourselves. You have as well. you have a lot of different interests, but that job apparently is special for you. You really like it.
It is. And I think what makes it special is frankly, the leaders that are here. They're just such good people. They want to do the right thing. And they're deeply rooted in values of like the ones that I mentioned earlier. I mean, it's not a tagline, and it really is not. The integrity, performance, and relationships, the integrity piece above all else, man, is just, they just want to do the right thing. I love that. I love that. I've been in other places where you don't feel that, but here it resonates from the top down, and you can really see it in the people, in their faces when you meet them. You know, if you're ever near a job site and you see a guy with an accountant Gordon Hart hat, ask him about his day. I guarantee you he's going to stop and make some time and engage with you and fellowship with you. I mean, it's just how we operate. It's who we are. It's in the blood here. And it's a really unique family atmosphere at McCown Gordon. It's exciting. And every time I walk in, I'm just always excited to see my colleagues. Like, it's unique. It really is. And I don't know how else to explain it. It's just so good.
Pat Contreras is with us. A couple minutes left in the show. Pat, what are you excited about in Kansas City and moving forward once the world's back to its normal self? What makes you want to continue on in Kansas City besides family, besides your great job? What excites you about our path and our future? And what maybe some of the things we can work on?
Yeah. I think what excites me about Kansas City is just the leaders that we have here, whether they're in healthcare or they're in higher ed or they're in K-12 or business, everyone wants to make a difference and everyone wants to work together. And I think that that's amazing, especially right now where we more than ever need people to work together, to collaborate, to share ideas, to look out for one another. That's what we need to I think, usher Kansas City into the next era of Kansas City, right? With growth and development. Growth is, and development on the east side as well, and making sure that we are channeling capital to underserved areas, that we are, cleaning up and creating or, getting rid of those food deserts and making sure that we are igniting a new fire that is centrally focused on development. It doesn't matter where you're at, no matter the zip code, but we are continuing to educate our young people, creating safer streets on the, in our city, but also just making sure that our families have an opportunity to achieve, all their dreams. So making sure that we are all working together, kind of as a cohesive unit, and obviously excited for, just our teams, baseball. I'm a big Royals guy and love the Chiefs, so it's like, I'm just excited to get back to normal too, so we can hopefully start catching some games, man. I love
it. We got 45 seconds left. You grew up on the West Side. Give us some favorite places on the west side of town or restaurants that we should be going to if we're ever over there.
Yeah, if you're ever over there, if you want a good good taco or enchilada or something, La Fonda is good down on the Southwest Boulevard. You could pop over to El Pueblito and get some street tacos. You can't go wrong there. Those are kind of my staples. I love being able to just walk around there or I think it's called, a Tropical, where we can go get a nice helado or an ice cream as well. I mean, there's just so many good places down there. That's my community, man. And go and support local where we can.
I love it. Pat Contreras has been our guest. Pat, Contreras. Google him, look him up. He's the director of project development at McCown Gordon Construction, McCownGordon.com. Pat, thanks for coming on the Grill Nation show today and sharing your story and really just sharing with us some great advice and some really good takeaways. We appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks, Jason. I love it, man. I've always been tuned into your show and was honored that you would ask that I could come in here and participate. And just looking forward to all the fun stuff that you're going to accomplish. And let me know how I can help you get there too, man. This is awesome.
Appreciate
thanks
it,
again for the
man.
Time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us today on Grill Nation. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
Well, I'm a chicken fry. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.